is called New Year Resolution Killers. New Year Resolution Killers. And just think about this. We know every year, many Americans make New Year what? Resolutions. Hoping to achieve a goal, right, by the end of the year. They establish a goal in the beginning of the year and say, okay, I want to accomplish this. By the end of the year, it will happen. And you know, most people, as we all know, right, don't achieve these goals. If you made resolutions, you probably know. I made a lot of resolutions where nothing happened. And so in this four-part series, we're going to explore what the Bible says or what it tells us about what are possible reasons why people don't succeed in their goals. But before we do that, I want you to hear what are the top 10 new resolution goals that Americans have made for the year 2014. And these are actual goals that people said they want to accomplish. I'm going to start off at number 10. They say they want to spend more time with family. That's a good one, right? We all want to do that. Well, number 9, it says they want to fall in love. By the end of the year, they're going to fall in love with someone. Number 8, it says they're going to help others in their dreams. Number 7, they want to quit smoking. Yeah. That's a good one. Number 6, learn something exciting. Number 5, staying fit and healthy. Number 4, enjoy life to the fullest. Number 3, spend less and save more. It's not that I'm looking at you for a reason. me too, right. Number 2, getting organized. And can someone tell me what you think the number 1 resolution is? Yes.
Diet.
Diet, yes, to lose weight. That's the number 1 goal. That's what Americans have made as their goal. You know, the primary goal for the New Year's resolution. And you know, it was found in the research that, you know, people didn't stick to their resolutions for very long. And I want you to understand, through the first week, only 75% of these people were able to stick with the goals. After 2 weeks, only 71%. After 1 month, 64%. And after 6 months, guess how much? 46%. And the percent of people who are successful in achieving the goal at the end of the year, guess what percentage that is?
5%.
Close. Only 8%. Only 8%. And so that's why I went to the Holy Spirit and said, Lord, why is it that when we make goals, we don't stick to them? And whether it be a resolution or a goal, you know, it's important, right? When we say we're going to do something, because the Bible says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything else is from who? The devil. And so the Lord showed me the first part I'm going to be talking about is procrastination. And that's why I entitled my sermon, Stopping Procrastination Now, Not Later. Because isn't that what it is, right? When you procrastinate, what do you say? Later, right? And I want you to think of one word definitions of procrastination. What words come to mind? Not just later, right? Because we know that's a common one. What else do we say? Not now, but? Yeah. Or tomorrow, right? Tomorrow. Or if you're local, Bombay. Oh, come on, let's do it now. Oh, Bombay. Bombay. We say that a lot, don't we? But a lot of times when we say Bombay, you know, it never happens. I got to tell you, sometimes I can be the worst procrastinator, and I'm my wife sometimes, you know, she'll tell me, yeah, you are, man. But there was one time I know my wife told me that the washing machine was making a lot of screeching and thumping noise. Boom, 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 boom. Like that, you know, and it was just like annoying. I heard it. She didn't have to tell me, but I knew it was going on. And I remember she said, Dan, you got to either look at it or call the repairman. And I remember when she told me this, I was doing something very important. You know what I was doing? I was watching The Iron Chef on TV. Yeah, I gotta know who won, right? And so I said, okay, later. Bombay. Just let me finish my program. Well, you know what happened, right? I finish my program, and when it's over, I get involved in something else, and then I forget about the washing machine. Then one day, guess what happens? Practically half of our living room is flooded with water. And, you know, you can see, like, the bumps coming up of our flooring. And I was like, oh, no. And guess where it came from? The washing machine. You got it right. The floor kind of ruined. And my wife, she's not so happy. And I realized, man, I should have done something sooner. But I got to tell you, another time, I remember one of my teeth started to hurt. And my wife said, hey, you better get that checked out. I know it's kind of sore, but, you know, it's kind of like manageable kind of pain, if you know what I'm talking about. And guess what I said? Oh, later. I can handle this. Bum-bye. And I waited until there was like a throbbing pain. You ever had this kind of pain? I can't function. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? So then finally, I decided, okay, I gotta make an appointment with the dentist. And by that time, I tell you, my tooth couldn't be saved. And it had to be extracted by a specialist, which meant more money out of my pocket. Imagine, if I took care of this sooner, I wouldn't have to, you know, pay this extra expense. But you know, I'd be in pain for like several days, and my family had to endure my moaning, my groaning, and my whining. As you can see, procrastination not only can bring about suffering and hardship for yourself, it can affect the people around you too. Isn't that true? So here's the question. Look in your notes. How does a person become an extreme procrastinator? Number one here, you can write in your blank. It says, when he can find excuses for everything he does not want to do. You can write in that blank, excuses. Look what it says in Proverbs 26, 13 to 14. It says here, the lazy person claims there's a lion on the road. Yes, I'm sure there's a lion out there. As a door swings back and forth on its hinges, so the lazy person turns over in bed. You know, here's the thing. When we make a lot of excuses, if it's not a lion, it's a snake, right? If it's not a snake, it's a bear. If it's not a bear, it's a monster with sharp teeth and fiery eyes. You guys remember the cowardly lion from The Wizard of Oz? Remember as he went on the yellow brick road with Dorothy? It's Dorothy, right? What does he say? Lions, tigers, and bears. Oh my! Lions and tigers and bears. Oh my! And you know, I just think about it. Wait a minute. You're a lion. So he's afraid of his own species. And here's the thing. When we know God has called us to do something, sometimes we go, oh, but what about that? What about this? What about all the other reasons why I shouldn't do that? Sometimes God says, I'm telling you, you move forward, I'll be with you. Don't be afraid. And sometimes we procrastinate. We say, oh, okay, I'll wait, Lord. I'll wait. We'll see what happens first. Don't we say that sometimes? We'll see and wait what happens first, and then I'll make a move. Now, I got to tell you, in 1984, an unemployed cleaning woman from St. Louis, Missouri, noticed a few bees was buzzing around near the attic of her home. And since there were only a few, she think, oh, no big deal. She said, I don't have to make an effort to deal with them. Now, they're only small little insects, these little bumblebees and all that. What harm can they do? And, you know, over the summer, these bees continue to fly in and out of her attic vent. When the woman, you know, she remained unconcerned, but she was unaware that there was a growing city of bees that were growing in her neighborhood. And still, she thought, okay, it's just bees, you know? No big deal. It should be okay. And you know, here's what happened. The whole attic, this is a true story now. The whole attic became a beehive. And here's the thing. The ceiling of the second floor bedroom finally caved in because of the weight of hundreds of pounds of honey. And I'm talking thousands of angry bees. And while the woman escaped serious injury, she was unable to repair the damage of her home. And just to think, if she just took care of this sooner, she wouldn't have this problem. And now she's got like this huge, you know, broken hole, you know, on her ceiling. And we gotta realize when we need to move. Let's not delay. Because we should learn from our mistakes, and I gotta be honest with you, sometimes I don't, you know, but I realize when I do wait, especially it's a matter that needs immediate attention, oh, let's not procrastinate, let's take care of it. And ask the Holy Spirit, oh, Lord, just put it in my heart to take care of this right now. Well, I want you to look at number two here. It says, when he is waiting and dependent on the other person to make a move. Brother, you laugh because probably we all know this, right? Sometimes we need someone to tell us what to do. I want you to understand in Joshua 18, I'm going to read that to you in just a minute here, but I want to tell you what's going on here. We find that the Israelites had fought many wars, and they trusted in God, and because of that, many of them had the victory with the Lord's help. And because of this, the land was conquered, and now it needed to be divided among the 12 tribes of Israel. And five of the tribes, right, they had already taken claim of the land they wanted, but the remaining seven, guess what they did? Nothing. They procrastinated. Said, oh, okay, we'll just sit by, you know, we'll wait. And look what it says here in Joshua 18. It says here, now the land was under Israelite control. The entire community of Israel gathered at Shiloh and set up the tabernacle. But there remained seven tribes who had not yet been allotted their grants of land. Then Joshua asked them, hey, how long are you going to wait before taking possession of the remaining land the Lord, the God of your ancestors, has given to you? Select three men from each tribe, and I will send them out to explore the land and map it out. They will then return to me with a written report of their proposed divisions of the new homeland. Let them divide the land into seven sections, excluding Judah's territory in the south and Joseph's territory in the north. And when you record the seven divisions of the land and bring them to me, I will cast sacred lots in the presence of the Lord our God to assign land to each tribe. And what we learn from this is, Joshua had to lead them by the hand and tell them exactly what to do in order to start the process of claiming the land. You got to understand, imagine, this land is already theirs. And you can just take it. It's not like how it is today, you got to sign like 100 papers and all that stuff. No, he says, it's yours for the taking. You just tell which one you want. Choose it. But no, they didn't do that. They waited for someone to take the lead. But here's the thing, because Joshua saw that probably no one would do anything unless he took charge, he said, okay, I got to tell them what to do then. And I want you to understand, as Christian believers, we have to learn not to depend on man. Because sometimes we do that. Oh, this guy, he's my savior. And when I hear that, I was, oh, be careful of that, because you only got one savior, and his name is Jesus Christ. And we got to remember that we do not look to anyone as our savior, as our God. Only God is your savior. Because when we depend on God alone, you realize God, he's never going to fail you. He's never going to let you down. Because if things go wrong, I got to tell you, there's no one to blame except for yourself. You know, the devil could be behind it, but sometimes you got to ask yourself, what did I do to get the mess I'm in right now? And then you ask the Lord to help you, and he will help you. I got to tell you about this story about a farm boy who accidentally overturned his wagon with a full load of corn. And there was a nearby farmer that lived close by, and he came to investigate. And he goes to the boy and says, hey, Willis, forget your troubles for a spell and come on in and have dinner with us. Then later on, I'll help you to get the wagon out. And the boy says, whoa, well, that's mighty nice of you, Willis answered. But I don't think Pa would like me to. And the farmer insisted, oh, come on, just come, come. And so Willis, he finally says, well, okay, but Pa's not going to like it. And so after a hearty dinner, Willis thanks his host, and he says, oh, I feel a lot better now, but I just know Pa is really going to be upset. And the farmer says, don't be foolish, boy. And by the way, where is your dad? And the boy kind of looks up and says, oh, he's under the wagon. There's a thing, right? Think about that. There are times we got to remember what our priorities are. And yes, who would be to blame? Just let's say if his father died. The father were to like, get really hurt and pass away. The boy would probably blame who? The farmer, right? He wouldn't blame himself. And you will say, oh, the farmer, so he told me to come to his house and eat. That's why I left Pa under the wagon. And you know, most often, yeah, I gotta tell you, people, they mean well, but sometimes you gotta do what you know is of greatest importance. And you go to God, and if He puts it in your heart, take care of it. You take care of it. You do not wait. Because the Lord may be telling you, maybe even screaming at you, come on, take care of this matter now. And we must listen and say, okay, Lord, I'm gonna do it. Don't wait for people to tell you what to do. You got a counselor. Every one of us here, we have a counselor. Who is he? The Holy Spirit of God. And he will speak to you. He will let you know what you need to do when it needs to be done. And I just got to share this with you. You know, just the other day, I tell you, it's a true story. I just walked out. It was like about 5 in the evening, you know, about 5:30. It was getting just a little bit dark. But I went to get something in the car. And then after that, I tell you, it was like a voice saying, check your tires. And I'm going, what? It's getting late. I just want to get my thing and go. And I was getting ready to go. And I said, no, check your tires. And when I checked them, the back would look okay. But then when I look in the front, it was bald. Both tires. And I was like, oh, I got to take care of this right away. But, you know, in my mind, I was saying, okay, I'm going to tell Johnny about it. And I'm going to take care of it tomorrow. But guess what? I forgot. I procrastinated. And the next day, I tell you, this was Thursday. This is after the park, you know, the ministry at the park. And I remember when I came back to the office, the voice, it was so clear. Check your tires. I was like, Lord, I just got to my office. I'm tired. And I knew it was the Lord, but he said, check your tires. So I went down and looked again, and guess what? Not only were they bald, one tire, it was like a hole that was forming. And I immediately told Johnny, you know what? I got to take care of this right now. I know it's going to take a while. It took like almost 3 hours. You know, I went to Sam's Club. But I said, this has to be taken care of immediately. I knew the Lord put that urgency in my spirit. He said, take care of it now. Otherwise, your family may be in jeopardy. I said, I'm sorry, Lord. I should have taken care of this even sooner than this present time. And we got to realize the Lord will speak to us this way because He loves us and He cares for us. But you really think about, in the case of this boy Willis, probably the truth of the matter was he knew that his father was under the wagon, but he probably listened to what? Usually men listen to their stomachs, right? And he probably thinking, okay, I'm hungry, I probably, you know, gonna take care of my personal need first. My pa is hot, is hurting under the wagon, but let me take care of my stomach first. And we got to realize there are priorities in life. We got to make sure that we're doing what is most important for us. Because if we don't, man, it probably means more trouble for you in the long run. Amen? So we got to listen to what the Holy Spirit tells us, and we do it immediately. So here's the next question. So how do we decrease procrastination in our lives? Well, number one here, it says, ask God to help you understand the brevity of human life. And brevity basically means the briefness, right? The shortness of human life. I want you to look what it says here in Psalm 39:4-5. This is what the psalmist writes. He writes, Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered, how fleeting my life is. You have made my life no longer than the width of my hand. My entire lifetime is just a moment to you. At best, each of us is but a breath. And you think about that. How can that be? Well, the thing is, we got to realize when we compare it to eternity. I'm going to give you an illustration in a few minutes here. But when you compare it to eternity, no. The time we have here on this planet Earth isn't very long. You know, I got to tell you about this preacher who once preached this sermon, and he really wanted to emphasize the brevity or the briefness of life. So he took a long pause in the middle of his sermon, and he says, I want you to know that every member of this church is going to die. And he said it with total, like, you know, conviction, with like total urgency. Every member of this church is going to die. But to his surprise, a man in the back row responded to this statement with a big smile. And the pastor, he repeated it twice, and the second time it was even louder. And after the sermon was over, the pastor, he went to the back and he found the man and he asked him, "Excuse me, sir, why in the world did you smile so big when I said that every member of this church is going to die?" And the man erupted with another huge smile and said, "Because I'm not a member of this church." And here's the thing, but the truth of the matter is, it doesn't matter if you belong to this church or that church, or whether you're a believer or not. Really, folks, the time we have here on this planet Earth is, oh, so very short. And you know, when, especially, like I said, when we compare it to eternity. And some of you have heard of this illustration, but to really put things in perspective, I just want you to imagine that, let's say God gave you a cord. This is the only thing I could find. So let's just say there's a cord that God gave you. And this cord is a special cord. You can wrap it around the entire Earth a million times over and it won't run out. So you just, let's say you just do that. And you can do that real quick because God empowers you. It's not you that's doing it. It's God just empowering you to just go around the world, let's say a million times, and you can just get it done real quickly. And you just keep going, going around the Earth with this cord, right, that never ends. And then he says, "Okay, stop for a moment, child." And then he may ask you, "I just want you to know, knowing that this cord has been wrapped around this Earth a million times over, if you were to imagine how long your life is on this planet Earth compared to how many times this thing has gone around the world, what would your life represent? Anyone tell me?" But you know what? Remember, we're talking about eternity. This is not even eternity. This is a million times over. Imagine. That's hard to even really imagine. But you know what? God would tell us, your life, let's say, on this cord, is just that. See that? I know you can't see it. But that would be your life. Because compared to eternity, how long is eternity? Forever. Your life is just a little on this cord. And that's it. The question is, what are you going to do with that little speck? Knowing that you got to make a difference. You got to live your life to the fullest for Christ. That's what all that matters, because just that little speck in this continuum of eternity, what are you going to do with it? So we should live like every day and say, "Lord, I'm giving my best to you." And if you can truly live like that, I tell you, as soon as you wake up, say, "Lord, I'm ready. Send me out in the world. Speak to me. Show me what I must do." If you can truly live life like that, you're going to have a super year, I tell you. You start now and say, "Lord, I'm going to live for you." Every morning you wake up, say, "Lord, I'm ready to live for you." Wow. You're going to be so blessed in every way. Because it's not about you anymore, is it? It's not about yourself. It's all about God. Amen? Well, number two here, it says, make every opportunity to use your time here on earth productively for good and the purposes of God. So make every opportunity to use your time here on earth. Time is what you want to write in there. Time here on earth productively for good and the purposes of God. And here's the thing, we tend to procrastinate when we spend our time doing things that are unproductive. Can anyone tell me what are things that are unproductive or time wasters? Come on, someone, tell me.
Watching football.
What's that?
Watching football.
Watching football? You know, this is when we watch excess, right? Because I like to watch sports every now and then, but she's laughing. But that's the thing. But it's when it's in excess, right? It's not good. What else? Someone yellow. What are time wasters? Come on, kids, tell me, kids.
Internet.
What is that?
Internet searching.
Internet searching, yeah. We can spend, you know, hours upon hours on the internet, right? And for what? You go Facebook and all that other stuff.
Cell phones.
What is that?
Cell phone.
Cell phone, yeah. When we just have, like, chatter, you know, for like 6-7 hours. I know people that can talk on the phone. Like, I mean, all day long, right? And wow, I can't imagine doing that. What else?
Video games.
Video games. I needed to hear that, brother. Because sometimes I think, yeah, like, especially the younger generation. And I'd be calling out, you know, my kid. Hey, Ben said, or Abigail. It's okay, right? But that's the thing, right? We got to realize that these things are time killers, right? It's taking away time. It's time wasters. We got to put them away. And we got to ask the Lord, oh, what can I do for you instead? Because even like watching TV, we can get so wrapped up watching soap operas or watching the sport games, you know? And you know, it's okay, you can watch, you know, but just make sure don't be consumed by it. Because you may be missing out on something that God wants you to do. Look what it says in Ephesians 5, 15 to 17. It says there, so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. What does it say there? Make the most of every opportunity for doing good in these evil days. You believe these are evil days, right? It says, oh, you got chances, a lot of chances, a lot of opportunities to do good. And it says here in verse 17, don't act what? Thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. And I want you to understand, when you're playing video games, you're watching TV, is your mind functioning as it should? Sometimes you're just blanking out, because I know sometimes I watch TV and John Lee comes in the room. Hey, Ben, Okay, I'm just watching TV, right? It says, okay, remember to do this and that, and don't forget this. I said, okay. And I'm just so focused on TV. And then, you know, maybe we go on through the day, and then she comes to me. So, Ben, did you do what I asked? What did you ask me? You can see, right, how our mind can just wander, just float. Our mind becomes numb, doesn't it? And it tells us, do not act thoughtlessly. And sometimes we got to control it. We got to put it away, put all the things that we know aren't that of great importance. And say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Spend more time with my family. You know, do things that we know have eternal value. Amen? And that's where God will bless us. Because at every opportunity that God gives us to do good, we got to give it our all. Give it our best. And say, Lord, I'm doing it for you. And you know, because we know our time is short here on this earth, take every moment to glorify God. Ask yourself what you're doing at the very moment. How can I make it so that I'll be glorifying God? No matter what you do, just ask yourself. You know, you could be just sitting around doing nothing. Say, Lord, instead of me just wasting time here, what can I do? I can say a prayer for someone, or just call up someone and say, hey, how are you doing? I'm thinking about you. You know, these are things that really touch the heart of God. When we can say, I'm thinking about someone else. I'm putting my concern, not on myself, but on somebody else. And you know, I got to tell you, statisticians tell us that the average lifespan, you know how long it is? It's about 75 years. And that's what they found recent now. And if you're under 30, you're probably thinking, oh, that's a long time. But when you get to be my age, you know, I got to tell you, I'm almost 50, you know, getting close to 50. You begin to realize, hey, that's not very long, is it? You know, 75. And, you know, a few years ago, someone went through the trouble to research on what people did with their time. And these are the results they came up with. So here's the thing. The first one, if you live to be 75 years old, most of us will have spent 3 solid years talking, if it's 24 hours a day nonstop, right? You will have spent 3 solid years acquiring an education. And I'm talking about grade school, high school, and college, right? So you would have spent 3 solid years acquiring an education. You have spent 7 years eating, if you were 24 hours a day, and obviously some, probably more, and some less, right? And you have spent 14 years, day and night, working. If it's continuous, straight on, right? 14 years, day and night working. And you have spent 5 years riding in an automobile or an airplane. Spent 5 years talking with each other, and again, some more or less, right? Talking to each other, whether it be on the phone or face to face. and you have spent 1 year sick or recovering from an illness. And get this now, we have spent 24 years of our life sleeping. 24 years, if we were straight on, right? That's the average anyway. 24 years of your life sleeping. And we have spent 3 years reading books, magazines, and newspapers, and probably internet too, right? And actually it's more with the internet. And 12 years amusing ourselves, watching TV, going to the movies, and fishing, golfing, whatever, right? 12 years amusing ourselves. And that totals up to 75 years, and the researchers say, on the average, that most of us would have done in our lifetime. And, you know, as I kind of looked at these statistics and I kind of thought about it, just let's suppose that you spent every Sunday of your life for 75 years, and I'm talking about through your infancy, through your childhood, through your adulthood, even throughout your old age, you spent 75 of these years in God's house worshiping during a church service. It's just once a week, right? Now, if you did, how much time would you have spent worshiping God? Let's just say it's about hour and a half long, right, service. You have only spent 5.5 months. Whoa. That's it. I mean, if it's continually, I mean, from the moment you're born to 75 years old, it's just 5.5 months. But let's just double that because, you know, let's say you attend Sunday school or midweek service. And so we'll double that, and let's say you never missed Sunday school at all in your entire life. It still only totals up to 11 months. Think about that. and think about this. 5 years in an automobile and just 11 months in church. 12 years amusing yourself, right? With entertainment and all that in front of the TV and the theaters, whatever. And just 11 months in a church. And that's only if you always attended and you never missed anything. No, you didn't miss a service, you didn't miss, you know, Sunday school or whatever. But think about this. It tells us a little about our brevity of time. Yeah, we don't have much time on this earth. What can we really do to glorify God? We got to really look at our priorities in life. I want to show you this video that will help you to get a clearer understanding of really how brief our time is here on this planet Earth. Can you please go and play the video, please?
Time. It's pretty brilliant, actually. I mean, the sun comes up, and then it goes down, and every morning when that happens, what do you get? You get a new day. You get a new one. It's kind of like when you look at something. When you set your eyes on it, you take in the images. And every time you do that, before you can blink, the images change. These images of life, they're always changing, always new. Every second we capture is fresh. This second that I exist in blows past me like the wind. Then another second passes, and another, and another, and another. I look at my reflection and understand I'm not the same man I was 10 seconds ago. Always growing, always taking in, always renewing. And every second is this beautiful new chance for new life. A new original moment of life that's filled with potential. Potential to love. Potential to affect change in myself and in others. Potential to grow. And this year, may God grant me the ability to seize the day. To seize every second and unravel His purpose. His potential for me. And that's it. That's what I love about life. Time.
Wow. Isn't that powerful? Can you say the same? Is that what you love about your life? Don't have much of it, really, compared to the eternity that we spend with God. And so we got to make sure we spend our time wisely. And we ask God to help us make sure our time is spent giving it our all to Him. Amen. Because when you give your all to Him, you're going to realize, man, it's not about you anymore. It's what I can do for my brethren, my brothers and sisters. And when you live life like that, you're going to find yourself. You're not going to get down and depressed. You're going to realize, man, I want to put all my energy, all my focus on others. And as you serve others, oh, you're going to be filled with joy. Amen. Because, man, that's what it's all about, isn't it? That's what God put in our hearts to do. But here are the bottom line verses here. Look what it says here in Proverbs 6, 10 to 11. It says, a little extra sleep, a little more slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, then poverty will pounce on you like a bandit. Scarcity will attack you like an armed robber. What is a bandit, by the way? Someone who what? Steals, right? And here's the thing. I want you to understand. The Bible tells us the devil, he comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. What is the devil wanting to steal from us? Our joy. The joy of our salvation. The peace that God has put in our hearts. And I want you to understand. You keep on procrastinating through life. You keep on putting away the things that are of greatest importance. Guess what? Eventually, you might lose everything. You got to understand, this is the seriousness of what can happen. And I got to tell myself sometimes, Ben, get with the program. Because sometimes, yeah, I can get distracted. And I realize, man, Ben, get back on track. And it was the Holy Spirit speaking to me. And, you know, I got to tell you about this story about this young man who decided he's going to move into a cave to study with a very wise old man. And he hoped to learn everything there was to know. That was his desire. I want to learn everything that I should know. And so after the wise old man gave his student a stack of books, the wise man took out a bag of itching powder and sprinkled it on the student's hand, and then he left. And every morning, though, the wise man, you know, would come into the cave, because that's where the student lived now, at least for this time being. And he would return to the cave to monitor his student's progress. And he would ask him, have you learned everything there is to know yet? The wise man asked. And every morning his student would say, no, I haven't. And then the wise man would sprinkle the itching powder. He'd bust out that bag of itching powder, sprinkle it on his hand, and the student would go, huh? Every morning he would do this, and then he would just leave. And this was repeated for several months. Can you imagine that? And one day, though, the wise man, as he entered the cave, the student saw him holding that bag of itching powder. He just grabbed it from him and he threw it in the fire. He just tossed it in the fire. And then the wise old man says, congratulations, you graduated. You learned. You don't have to know everything to do something positive. And you learn how to take control of your life and stop the itching. And for, you know, that Christian, you know, brothers and sisters, we got to realize this bag of itching powder, you know what it could be? Satan's lies. And we got to realize sometimes we know the Lord is saying, hey, time to get rid of it. But we're saying, oh, not now, bye-bye. Bye-bye, Lord. And we're suffering. And we're going, why am I suffering? Why hasn't life got better? And the Lord is probably telling us, well, because you're still holding on. You're not getting rid of this thing that's causing you grief. And, you know, here are some examples. I hear this a lot. You know, someone may be stuck in a miserable job. And here's the thing. You know, there are terrible work conditions. And I remember one person telling me, oh, man, I'm filled with tempting situations throughout the day. It's really, really bad. And you know this isn't God's best for you, but yet you procrastinated in quitting this job, even though this job is just like totally stressing you out. And it's really drawing you away from God. And the devil has told you, hey, you quit this job, you're not going to get another job. No way. You quit this job, you know, forget it. This is it. You're not going to be able to provide for your family. And so the person, well, I got to stay with this, and they stay miserable, right? Even though the Holy Spirit may be saying, it's time to move on. I got something better for you. Trust in me, child. Or it may be another situation where you may be in an abusive relationship with someone and you know it's only getting worse and worse and worse. And you know it's about time you ended this relationship. But you know what? You procrastinate because the devil has convinced you, hey, you break up with this person, you're not going to find someone else. You're going to be a lonely old person. And the devil, he's good at doing that, isn't he? He's a father of lies. But I want you to understand, whatever your situation is, you know, we may procrastinate just because of the fear of the unknown. Because, you know, we say, oh, I can't do this. I don't know. I know God is wanting me to do this, but what if? And we use these what ifs to paralyze us. We don't move forward because we're thinking, but what if? But what if? But if you know it is truly God's leading, you know in your heart of hearts, this is truly God leading you, you gotta say, Lord, I trust you. Lord, if this is you, take my hand, Father. I wanna go where you want me to go. You gotta move without any fear. Because you know what? If you kind of listen to what the enemy's telling you, you're gonna procrastinate all the time. You're gonna keep putting it off. And sometimes we think we need to be 100% certain. We got to know everything before we move on. But you know what? I got to tell you, having faith in God means that we don't have to know everything. You know, we just got to learn to trust in Him. If you know this is God, He's going to bring His best. He's not going to let you walk into a trap and make you miserable. No. God wants His very best and He will bring it. And you just got to say, Lord, I'll go where you want me to go. I want you to look at what that verse says here in Deuteronomy 29, 29. It says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God. So I want to stop right there. Are there things that God won't tell us? Yeah, there are. He doesn't have to tell us everything. But you know what? He has revealed many of the secrets of the kingdom to those who believe in Him. The Bible tells us this. So there are things we know that the non-believer doesn't know. But there are things that God won't reveal to you. Not until when we probably take our last breath on this planet Earth and we're standing before Him. He might reveal it to you, but He doesn't. Because He's God. And we got to respect Him as our Father God, the creator of this universe. And say, yeah, we don't have to know everything. The only thing I have to be concerned about is the very fact that I put my faith and trust in God, and I'm going to move as He tells me to move. Amen? And we got to look to Him in all things. And sometimes, as a Christian, we got to throw it in the fire. Whatever this thing is that hinders us, that prevents us to move forward with God. I want you to look what it says here in Ezekiel 24, 12. It says, this is God talking through the prophet Ezekiel now. He says, but it's hopeless. The corruption can't be cleaned out. So throw it in the fire. And God knew it came to a point where His people, His children, was abandoning His ways. And they were turning to idols and all this. And God tried to cleanse them. God tried to make them turn their hearts back to Him. But He realized, you know what? The only way you're going to come back to me, you got to throw it in the fire. Because, you know, sometimes we can say, oh, okay, Lord, I'll read my Bible more. I'll spend time in prayer. I'll do all these things so that I can resist this sin so that I can draw closer to you. And we do all these things, but seems like still nothing happens. But you know what? Sometimes we got to make a decision. And it has to come from deep within your soul. We say, Lord, this disgusts me. Everyone says it's okay, but my life is just getting worse and worse. And worse. Lord, I'm throwing it in the fire. You be rid of it. Amen. Say, Lord, I'm not going to procrastinate anymore. Anything that would hinder me from drawing close to you, Lord, I'm taking it. I'm throwing it in the fire. Amen. And we got to have that kind of attitude sometimes, because otherwise we're going to keep making excuses. And we're going to keep procrastinating, and nothing gets better in your life. We've got to make a decision, brothers and sisters. Are we going to do as God tells us? Or are we going to keep on making excuses? Because if you want a truly blessed life, it means we got to surrender our will. We got to surrender our desires to God. And say, Lord, it's all your way. Not my way anymore, Lord. Your way. Then, and only then, will God will show himself strong in your life. You're going to be surrounded with so many blessings, so many miracles that are taking place in your life. Because you surrender to the King. Amen? Amen? Praise God. Why don't we go ahead and bow our hearts before our Father God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this message spoken today. And Father God, I just pray right now as we go on through the next 3 weeks in this series called the New Year Resolution Killers. I pray you'll continue to speak through me, Father, that we can truly just experience more of you as we realize, Lord, it's not about us. That we, Lord, have to put an end to procrastination, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that all my brothers and sisters, as they have taken in this message today, taken in your word, that they will no longer delay, Lord. Whatever you call them to do, they will do it. As we know it's your Spirit's leading, we're going to trust in you. We're going to believe in you. We're going to see miracles happen in our lives as we say, Lord, not my will, but yours. Yours alone. I trust in you. And now, as the Holy Spirit's presence, I know he's here. Just let his glorious presence just fill your mind and fill your heart and fill your soul right now. Hallelujah. Just take in his peace, his love, his joy. Just let it enter into your heart. Don't fear this. This is God. This is what he does. He lets his presence just come forth into you as you desire it, as you say, Lord, I need you. Oh, every hour I need you, Lord. Come in. Oh, Lord, let me know that I'm never alone in this life. Know that as long as I have you, I have all that I need in life. And you may be saying right now, you know, Pastor Ben, I kind of realize that I say I believe in God, but I haven't been dependent on him. And that may be why I haven't seen any changes in my life. Even though I say I believe in God, it just seems like I'm just dry. Well, if you're letting the Holy Spirit touch your heart right now, or just let him come into the fullness of his glory in your life. And say, yes, Lord, I hear you, and I surrender to you. If that's truly your heart's cry, you're saying, I'm going to make it a year, Lord, that I'm going to tune into you. I'm not going to do things my way anymore. I'm going to do it your way. Because, Father, I keep putting off, Lord, all the things that are important. But, Father, I'm going to make it a point that I'm going to surrender to you. And I know, Lord, it's not about me anymore. It's all about you. It's all about my brothers and sisters. Father, fill me up, overflowing of your goodness. And if you're saying, Lord, help me to be that person you want me to be so I can truly experience more of you. If you're so truly saying, Lord, I give up myself fully to you. With all our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, can you raise your hand and say, that's me. Lord, I surrender all of me unto you. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Let it be your heart's cry. Say, Lord, I surrender all. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. All right, you can put your hands down. Let's pray. Father God, you've seen all the hands that were raised. Most importantly, it's the hearts behind those hands saying, Lord, I need you. Lord, help me to decrease so that you can increase in every way. And Father, I ask you now, Lord, as my heart is set upon you, I just pray, Lord, that I can go through every day of my life, waking up in the morning and saying, Lord, I'm ready to do whatever you ask. I just pray, Father, as my brothers and sisters truly take this in, that they will truly experience you in ways they never experienced before. Father, we praise you, we love you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now for some of you, you may be saying, you know, Pastor Ben, I've heard of people talking about having a relationship with God, with his son, Jesus Christ, but what must I do? How do I get started? Well, you can start off by praying a simple prayer, but it must come from deep within your heart, deep within your soul. And if you're ready to receive Jesus Christ, the Bible says, let today be the day of salvation, because guess what? We tend to procrastinate. And thinking, oh, we got all the time in the world. We'll wait till tomorrow. We'll wait to maybe next month, maybe next year, and nothing happens, and our life stays the same. And the Holy Spirit may be saying, you know what, child, I want to bless you in so many ways, but the only way that I can do this is you must come to me. You must surrender your life to me so that I can truly take you in, so that I can truly put my hand upon your life, and so that you can truly know what it means to be blessed by God. The Bible says, don't wait. It says, if you deny him, he will deny you. But if you receive him, he's going to receive you and welcome you into his family. You got to make this decision. You must make that first step. And say, Lord, I surrender to you. And if truly that is that decision you want to make for him today, and you just raise your hand and say, that's me. I want Jesus to enter into my life. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Praise God. Anyone else? Just say, yes, Lord. You got nothing to lose. Let me tell you, you got everything to gain making a decision for Christ. Anyone else? Praise God. Praise God. All right, you can put your hands down. Let's repeat this prayer after me and just say it from your heart. Say, Father God,
I need you.
I give you praise for who you are.
I believe in you.
I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ,
who died for me on the cross.
And on the third day, he rose again. And he lives in my heart. And Father God, I confess that I'm a sinner. But your word says, if I confess of my sins, you are faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Cleanse me now, Lord. Make me holy and pure unto you. So now I say this so you can hear me, Father God. So that everyone can hear me. So that I can hear myself. And so that the devil can hear me. Jesus Christ is my Lord. I live for him. And I live for him only. Father God, write my name in your book of life. For I give you praise. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone says,
Amen.
Let's all stand. Let's give glory unto God.